Hello and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, brought to you by Netroots Radio, the political podcast by and for millennials and Gen Xers from a left-wing perspective. It is Friday, September 9th, 2016. It is Rachel and I.
Hi.
Here for you, grossly unprepared.
Yes.
On this night, as we've had utterly chaotic weeks. I think we told you about some of the chaos we've been enduring. So we'll just fill you in. I have a kidney stone that will not pass, and I need to get a stent put in Monday morning. So that sounds like fun.
Yeah, that doesn't sound painful at all. Really
Well, the procedure won't be painful because they'll put me out.
Right.
And supposedly it'll help with the pain, but
yeah.
You know, it's exactly how I wanted to spend my Monday after working all day Monday.
Yeah. No, of course.
Yeah.
And right before our trip to Florida.
Right before we're going out of town. So there's that.
Yes.
My car, the driver's side front window, I have power windows, and I rolled it down, and then it didn't want to roll up ever again.
Right. So and the mechanic closed before you got off work, and they're not open on the weekends.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's par for the course.
Yeah.
With the kidney stone flaring up. Uh-huh. And what am I forgetting? What other calamities have struck us?
Oh, just my life. And
work and
work and just, yeah, it's just been
work stuff we can't get into.
Yeah. Really crazy.
Politics and all kinds of joyous merriment. But here we are for you,
yes.
Loyal Irreverent Testimony listeners, on a Friday night where we've had a little tequila.
We did. We had a margarita for dinner. I mean, we had dinner in addition we're on to the margarita.
We're on a liquid diet now, folks. That's how bad this week has been. We had a margarita for dinner, each of us.
No, we also had tacos. but I think we'll be okay.
Relatively speaking.
God.
In the meantime, politics has happened. We had
I just don't even know. I'm so busy that, like, I hear in the periphery and I see on Twitter once in a while. And so you're just going to have to tell me what the fuck is going on in the world. And then I'll have something to say about it, I'm sure.
Well, there was a military town hall event where Hillary spoke and then Trump spoke. And Trump sounded like an uninformed, foolish maniac.
Yeah, that's true.
But a lot of the pundits, like our friend David Brooks today, said, well, they were both just as bad. Because while Trump was unhinged and an idiot lunatic, Hillary came off as, he said, ungrateful and evasive.
The fuck does that mean? Ungrateful for what? What does that mean?
That she was allowed to sit in a room full of men and talk about foreign policy, I guess. You'd have to ask David Brooks.
Running for president.
She was also Secretary of State.
Candidate of the Democratic Party and was the Secretary of State.
Well, that's what David Brooks said on NPR.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
I mean,
he's
did
my favorite anyway.
Yeah, yeah, he's totally he's fine. Just the best. Mm-hmm. Millennials love David Brooks, and he just doesn't. No, he loves millennials, so he thinks, and he just doesn't understand why we don't love him back.
Because he's a blowhard. Anyway, okay, so.
Well, here let me give you some of the Trump highlights first, because there's all kinds of crazy Hillary conspiracy theories about this night.
Okay.
Which it's real fun. We're gonna get to that, but. Trump said in Iraq, first of all, he there's a lot of heat coming down on Matt Lauer, who was the, quote, moderator of this town hall event.
Mm-hmm.
And they say he was not quite, he was like, he was really like just jabbing Hillary and really persistently, doggedly, you know, trying to extract stuff out of her. And Trump, he just let's say whatever the fuck he wanted, and which is sort of par for the course in any of these.
I'm sure it's going to be the same in the debates, too. Say something about, you know, treating them as the same. So letting Trump say, sorry, excuse me, crazy, awful, maniacal things and lies and not calling him on it, and then having Hillary say reasonable, factual things and calling her on it is an attempt to sort of normalize the two of them to make them seem like
that's part of
they're
it.
The same.
That's part of it because
the
media, the Beltway media especially, is so afraid of appearing to take sides and not be partial, that they're in this very awkward position where you have one serious candidate and she may be flawed and you may not like her and whatever, but she's a serious qualified presidential candidate.
Yes.
And you have another guy who's a cartoon character running for president, and you have to somehow act as if they are in some realm of equality.
But that's not what's actually happening.
But that's not what's actually happening. So it's like you almost have no choice in their mind. I don't agree with this.
Yeah.
But it from where they're coming from, they obviously see it as, well, if we just call them out on all this bullshit, it's going to sound like we're partisan.
Right.
And they are. They're partisan.
Crazy thing.
For a normal candidate against a cartoon running for president.
Right. A white supremacist, really.
Well, an unqualified, unhinged, ridiculous, uninformed
white supremacist.
White supremacist who's on some quest for monetary gain or media power or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. And while I appreciate and sympathize to an extent the bind they're in trying to cover this, at a certain point, if somebody's just spouting actual bullshit at you, you have to call it on some level. And Greg does all the time. It's like, to a certain extent, and if it's utter bullshit, yeah, it is your job as a moderator or a media person to say it. And, you know, they're so careful. And it's
just so frustrating, because if she said if she said even one of the many things that he had said, it would be a national scandal, and she would be called out mercilessly by the media at the moment pieces to follow and in every newspaper article ever.
If her foundation made a donation to a state AG who was considering investigating her fake university. I mean, come on.
Right. They're trying to
There'd be hearings tomorrow at Capitol Hill.
Yes. There'd be hearings yesterday. I mean, it's
are you kidding me?
They're trying to make something of this whole Clinton Foundation thing. And, you know, there's some weird stuff there, but there's an
actual
scandal.
No, there's really not much
scandal.
Of anything there. There's the fact that she did talk to people who happen to be donors. Past that, there's no evidence of any quid pro quo there's no evidence. There's nothing there.
Right.
The best they can do is say it, quote, raises questions. And then they're very reluctant to really dig into the Pam Bondi stuff in New York.
Right.
AG.
What is that about? So basically, from what I understand, the attorney general and many attorney generals, from what I understand from this time period,
at least two that we know of,
were looking into Trump University. And so Donald Trump became fond of donating to their reelection campaigns.
Yeah, well, via his foundation, which that's a no-no already.
Right, you can't do that. Politics, charities cannot donate in kind or financially to political campaigns.
No,
it's against the law.
It's against the law.
Trust me. And so he donated money to this woman, Pam Bondi, who was considering jumping in on the investigation into Trump University.
And literally a few days
later,
like changed her
mind. And like a
couple
days later, dropped the investigation.
After she got $25,000 to the election campaign.
And then Trump got nailed on that campaign contribution.
By the IRS.
Was it the IRS?
Yes. And he paid a fine.
Yeah. He paid a fine and paid back the foundation with his personal funds, which is what he should have paid her donation out of in the first place.
Yes.
But that's really...
But then it's not his money, because then it's other people's money.
Right.
Even when it's $25,000.
Right.
When you're a cheap, miserly prick.
Yes.
And B, not nearly as rich as you say you are.
Yep.
$25,000 is something.
Yep. Yep.
It's
absolutely.
It's not nothing.
Right. Right. So that happened. And I have heard about it on Twitter. And then I think Rachel Maddow did a little piece.
There are many problematic questions that would be such a titanic scandal for any other candidate in any other presidential
race. Any other
race
party
ever.
Ever.
I mean, I know we're getting off track because we were talking about the forum and we'll get back to that, but let's think about this for a second. First of all, let's pretend that you were a dupe who donated to the Trump Foundation because you actually thought they were doing good, benevolent things.
What is it that they said they were doing? Do we know what their foundation was for?
Poor people, and you know, that's what they say they're about.
Right.
But so imagine you're some dupe or a good-hearted person who just donates to a lot of charities.
Right.
And think Trump's a rich guy. He's got a foundation. It probably does good. Mm-hmm. Here's $5,000.
Right.
And then you find out it's going to some Florida AG's reelection campaign so she won't prosecute a fraudulent university thing. If you're a donor, aren't you a little pissed off about
that? I'm pissed off about that. 100%.
Now, that's one thing, and that's something the media should be covering about. What about these people who donate? Because, again, since this came from the Trump Foundation, this wasn't even Trump's money. This was people who got duped into donating to his quote charity that paid off the AG. That's strike one. Strike two is, as we've said, this was a woman who publicly said she was getting complaints about Trump University from Floridians, and her job as AG is to look and to see whether an investigation and charges or a lawsuit on behalf of the people of Florida should be brought.
Right.
She then, from her words, solicits the money from the Trump campaign.
Uh-huh. Not the Trump campaign, but the Trump personally.
It's all the fucking same. This is why I'm saying it.
Yeah.
So she solicits from Trump, and it comes from his foundation. She takes it.
Which she's stupid to do because she must know campaign finance laws prohibit her from taking money from charities.
Well, when you are the AG of the state, you're kind of the final word.
You'd think.
Well, but no, but my point is, who's going to prosecute her? The Justice Department could. But they're not going to touch this during the election cycle.
Right.
It's too hotly partisan, and they'll be seen as too partisan. Maybe afterwards.
Right. So she takes the money. And then
wins.
Like, what was it, 4 days later? Was like, no, we're fine. We don't have to investigate Trump University.
Yeah, New York's already doing it, so they can handle
it. They're on the up and up.
It's fine.
I think it's fine.
Now, holy fucking shit. Now, let's even pretend for a hot second that is just a weird, bizarre combination of coincidences.
Bad timing, coincidences, you know.
And well, it's not only is it a coincidence that Bondi solicited and received this money before deciding not to prosecute the Trump University thing, that it was also a donation from the foundation, was a clerical error and some screw-ups in communication between Trump and his people. Like, all of these things just collided to make this very innocent $25,000 payment from a charity to
the AG who was maybe going to investigate you. That's not how it works in the media or politics for literally anyone else.
Now, to really make yourself crazy, contrast that with the coverage of the Clinton Foundation and the fact that somebody sent an email to Huma Abedin that said, I'd like to get this passport, or I want to meet with Hillary Clinton. That never amounted to anything.
Huma Abedin said no.
Huma Abedin said, I'll tell her. And Clinton said no, or somebody at the State Department said no. So the favor was never granted. There was certainly never $25,000 that changed hand for anybody's AG campaign.
No.
There was certainly no investigation into Clinton University that defrauded people that got dropped by any AGs. There was nothing like that. But what got the headline news and all everybody talking?
Right.
Clinton.
The leaked emails about the Clinton Foundation that amounted to nothing.
That amounted to literally nothing.
Yes.
Because the name is Clinton and it's juicy and fun and there's a cottage industry.
We can bring Bill into it now because he runs the thing.
What great timing that Anthony Weiner was up to his old tricks too. Because somehow that figures in.
It does.
And
somehow,
it's somehow Clinton's fault.
That his poor wife who worked for Hillary Clinton on her own fucking merit, having nothing to do with her skeezy husband, was involved in an email where she didn't do anything wrong, and then Anthony Weiner is sending dick pics with his child in the bed. I mean, okay, let me just...
Was it actually a dick picture? I think it was just a picture of his stomach. But
yeah, right. Like, he likes to do the, like, bulge in the underwear thing.
It's so gross.
And he's like sexting with this woman, and then he's like, someone just crawled into bed with me. And she's like, really, who? And then he sends a picture of himself with his fucking kid, and you're like, whoa, that went way not where I thought it was gonna go. No, sexed over. But apparently she was some sort of operative, that she did this on purpose. She sought him out and she started this sexual conversation with him because she wanted to expose him. Is what the story actually
Why
is.
Why did she want it? Because
she's a Republican.
She's a conservative.
So she was like, I bet I can get him to do it again. And everyone was like, nah.
But it worked. And the media ate it up. Works. And then Trump said, oh, this compromises national security because now Hillary Clinton is going to give these national security details.
The fact that my husband is a skeez.
To Huma Abedin, who's going to then turn around and give them to her pervy husband, who then, because he's a pervert, is going to sell them on the black market or something?
No, and I feel like Huma Abedin and Hillary Clinton must be like pretty good buds.
Of course. Because
their husbands cannot stop fucking with their careers. They cannot help themselves. They just cannot.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm not a sex negative person, obviously. And I don't think that what we're doing to Anthony Weiner and what his career has amounted to as a result of this skeezy behavior is appropriate. I don't think it has anything to do with his ability to govern. No. I think he was a tremendously good public servant.
Right. If he was in Italy, it wouldn't affect his career.
Right.
At all.
And if
but
he
he's
was,
not.
If he was a woman and he was sexting someone and those pictures were posted online, that's called revenge porn. And it's illegal in some states, including the state where he was.
It would probably never happen because she would probably be sexting with a married guy who would never, ever want his wife to know.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like,
I know.
It's
I know
not
what
okay.
You're saying.
We don't allow it for we sort of look down upon it as a society when it happens to women. But for some reason, Anthony Weiner just has captured, you know, with Carlos Danger, the imagination of the American people. And since he's a public figure, I guess it's fair game for newspapers to publish this information.
And he's vaguely connected to the Clintons.
Right.
So
but it's bullshit.
It's a gold mine for the Beltway Press, for Republicans, for Breitbart, for the whole, which is all the same now.
And I think especially because he was such an effective and passionate public speaker on issues that they hate. When he talked about healthcare on the floor, it was like...
That's the tragic part of all this, right?
Yeah, it is.
If this was just some jackass, if this was Rob Blagojevich,
right,
then, you know, who fucking cares that he's also, a creepy, sleazy womanizer, too.
Right. So, I don't know. I also don't think it matters, like... I don't know. I mean,
it's already out of the news cycle and nobody cares. But the whole getting back to we got way off track. But
we
getting
did,
back
we did.
To the second point I was making is you look at the Trump University AG thing. And by the way, this also happened in Texas with our good buddy Greg Abbott or not Greg Abbott, Greg Abbott's the governor, the AG Dan Patrick. I forget who all those assholes are in Texas, but I try to wipe it from my memory living there.
Right.
But the AG of Texas, and this was a funny point too, Pam Bondi got $25,000 for her reelection campaign. The Texas AG, I think, got $35,000.
Yeah, so she got paid, like 72% of what he got paid?
Yeah, Lilly Ledbetter Act might have helped her. But no, that's off the book, so maybe not. But, you know, she only got 70% because she's a lady. And
yeah, it's pretty funny. I don't know.
It's funny and gross and ironic and all the things.
I know.
But now the media's like finally rolling, like, all right, I guess we'll run a few items about this. But I don't think they're going to dig into it like with the Clinton stuff.
No, I agree.
I think they want it to go away.
I thought it was really interesting. Maddow did a little piece about it, and she said her office was trying to determine, because Trump said, I think Pam Bondi's great. We've been friends for a long time, and I think she's really good at her job.
Who said that?
Trump.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so they were trying to dig in to see if they've ever met, if they've ever known each other prior
to
this
donation. Not a lot.
Nobody
there.
Can find any evidence of that being the case.
No, that was the start of their relationship, was this donation, basically, from what I understand.
Yeah,
I could
was
be wrong.
The start of it was
that.
Her saying, we may or may not look into Trump University. Hey, do you want to give me some money? Sure. Okay, I'm not going to do it.
Well, that's the thing, too. And she, this woman's pretty bold, right? Because she publicly came out and said, no, we solicited that donation.
Yeah.
So it's like sort of props in a gross, corrupt way. If you saw that on the wall and you did the sort of extortion bit and said,
fucking Florida,
hey,
man,
this investigation could go away very quietly. You know what I mean? Maybe maybe a foundation's got a couple bucks and one investigation. I never heard of Trump University. Take care of that for you. So, all right,
I wonder
Bondi,
what the max is for donating to a state attorney general. I should find out.
Well, does it matter if you're doing it illegally anyway?
Yeah. That's a whole other kind of illegal. You can't go over the maximum.
Oh, because then you can't even declare it if you are the AG. Then it's illegal for you.
Yeah, you can't
so
take
that
money
might be the
over
max.
A certain amount. Could be 25,000 could be or could have
been.
Oh, okay.
Been
back then
sexism may not play into it.
Yeah, because sexism might have been different. It also could not have been the max. I don't know. Some cases, some states.
Yeah, what if Trump went cheap on
some
her?
Some states don't even do maxes.
What if
in Colorado,
Trump,
we
what
do.
If Trump negotiated her down? What if she asked for 50?
Right? And he's
and
like,
he's like 20, 30, 20, 22, 28, 25.
25.
Deal.
All right. Deal.
No investigation.
I mean, it does really look like
that.
The
New York Post runs with the headline, somebody emailed Uma Habedin and asked for a thing they didn't get. Scandal.
Scandal.
Oh, fucking Christ.
I know.
The New York Times is just out of control.
They are.
This guy, Patrick Healy. By the way, isn't Pat Healy the name of Matt Dillon's character from Something About Mary?
Oh, I have no idea.
The Private Investigator?
I have no idea.
I think it is.
I saw that movie once when it came out, like, a couple years after, and I was like,
somebody on Twitter tell me. Huh. I like that movie.
I watched it once.
But anyway, they keep going back and correcting his stories and then not mentioning the corrections. Like, every little correction the New York Times usually makes, if they spell somebody's name wrong and don't capitalize something, they run. Mm-hmm. Now they're just... They're killing and changing whole stories and not informing the readers.
Oh my
so
God.
That headline you read, or that completely ridiculous article, just unread it, unremember it.
But we're not going to tell you that it's not true.
Right?
We're the New York fucking Times, by the way.
Yeah.
It's
getting fucking crazy out there, man.
It is.
I mean, the postmortem, I really hope somebody writes a book, and I'm sure they will.
Many, I think.
About the postmortem of the coverage, press coverage mm-hmm. of this election.
I think
because it has
be
been fucking bizarre.
One of the more, I think when we look back at this election, there will be in history, and history looks upon this election, I think there will be many notable things. But I think one of the more notable things will be the press and the media coverage of.
Well, maybe we should do it. I mean, we're not journalists.
No.
And we don't have journalism degrees.
No.
So nobody would buy our book.
Maybe, I don't know. But it is really interesting, and it makes me really miss Jon Stewart, because he was such
he was
such a perfect critic of the media and of journalists.
Yes.
And that was his shtick, and he was so brilliant
And Noah and Wilmore try, but they're just not as effective.
That's not their shtick.
And Colbert he still kind of does it, but not really.
Laser focus on the media, and he could point out the things that bothered me, but I couldn't quite figure out why in this
way.
He didn't know. He was like, I'm going to pass the mantle to Trevor Noah during an incredibly insane election cycle, not knowing that everything he's been saying exploded thousandfold. When I need him the most.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me miss him tremendously.
Well, and they're going to need him during the Clinton presidency, too, because this isn't going to stop. It's
right.
just going to ramp up times 10.
Right.
It's like there's going to be a new fabricated scandal every single day in the Hillary Clinton administration.
Yeah.
You think it's bad now? Oh, my God.
Well, the thing is, the people tend to like her an awful lot when she's governing. They just don't like her when she's running.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I know they like Bill Clinton when he's governing.
No, they like her when she has a job. They just don't like her when she's asking for one. It's true.
That you know,
if you
you're
look
absolutely
at the polls,
right
that's
about
exactly
that.
Exactly right.
They liked her when she was senator.
They loved her when she was senator. She was had one of the higher approval ratings in the country. They loved her when she was Secretary of State.
Like her in 2008.
They
when she
didn't
was
like
running.
Her when she was trying to get confirmed for that. I guess she didn't get confirmed for that. But they didn't like her when she was running in 2008.
Uh-huh.
They didn't like her when she was running for senator.
Well, I didn't like a lot of things about her campaign in 2008.
Me either.
Granted.
But I also.
But I totally would have voted for her. If
supporter.
She was the nominee,
I was
course.
Actually a supporter of Hillary Clinton in 2008.
That's. Yeah.
But I then. Immediately, of course, went to Obama when he won the nomination. But
like in this election cycle, I was not one of these people, these zero-sum people in the Democratic campaign. Like, I like this one person and this other person's the devil. It's like,
they're both
pretty good candidates.
I was not a Puma. I loved them both. I just thought that she had more experience in political capital, and I think I'm right.
Doesn't that seem so quaint and weird? And I know most people are like us, but when you get on Twitter and you get on Facebook and you listen to people, it's just this binary zero-sum crap.
It's not true. It's not. I talk to voters every day.
Is that
of my
a Democratic
life.
Problem, too? Because the last two Republican fields, you've had these big fields, especially this year. But even back to 2008 and 2012, you had a pretty big field. And in 2000, it was basically a very short two-person race between Bradley and Gore. In 2004, it was Kerry most of the way. In 2008, it was binary, Obama-Clinton. In 2012, nothing.
I mean, there was other people that ran initially, like Joe Biden
But
ran
they fell off so quickly.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, if I'm being honest, I think it's a Clinton problem.
Yeah.
I think that people that love her, that wanted her to be president in 2008... and people that hate her really have kind of a binary opinion about her. If you love Hillary Clinton, you love Hillary Clinton, and you wanted her to be president so bad in 2008 that you were willing to burn the building down when she didn't get the nomination.
Yeah, we saw that here in Denver. Yeah.
And people who hate her are
think
going
she's
to
the absolute devil.
No, yeah, to
even,
great
even
lengths
quote
to make sure that no matter what, she's not the president.
Yeah,
I
even our liberal friends say she's worse than Trump. And
oh,
worse
we
than
had that. Some fucking Green Party supporters over the other night. It was so obnoxious. I love you, but God, shut up.
Oh, they're probably not listening.
Jill Stein and some stupid
Jill Stein, who's got a bench warrant out for
House
her arrest
candidate
in North
that's
Dakota.
Did
you hear about that?
What?
Well, first, Jill Stein, I think earlier in the week or maybe last week, got on the wrong plane. She was supposed to go to an event in Cincinnati and ended up in Cleveland or something like that. And then, and then there's an arrest warrant in North Dakota. And I'm sorry, I don't know enough about what's going on in North Dakota to give a good opinion. I know there's something with oil companies trying to screw over Native people, which doesn't surprise me. But Jill Stein is somewhere in the middle of it, and she did something to have an arrest warrant.
Okay, so the North Dakota thing we're going to cover actually in great depth. But we're not going to do that tonight.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of research, and it's a really big story, and it's immensely, immensely important.
It's not really getting much coverage.
It's not, but I have a lot of friends who are Natives and people who, a couple of good friends of mine studied and worked in the Native American Studies Department at the college I went to. Mm-hmm. And so it's very much on my radar, and I just want to get it absolutely right. But I know for sure Jill Stein went there to the protesters and basically graffitied a piece of construction equipment. And there's a picture of it, and I'm pretty sure that's what her arrest warrant was for.
Not a big fucking
Yeah, who cares? But no, we're going to get way in depth on that. Okay. We're going to do a special episode about it, or at least like half of one, just so that everyone's clear. Because it's not being super covered, but it's critical.
It's out there.
Yeah. So anyway.
And another third party thing. After the big foreign policy forum on Morning Joe, Gary Johnson is asked, what would you do about the situation in Aleppo? And I credit him for honesty, because what a normal candidate would say if it was shit, oh, no, you'd say like, Aleppo's a big problem, and I think we need careful consideration. And, you know, in other words, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going to give a...
Yes.
But Gary Johnson just said, I don't know what that is.
What is Aleppo? What is Aleppo? And the guy interviewing him literally said, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? And he was like, just, you know, like, I thought he stopped smoking pot.
It's a hellhole in Syria that people are dying in and can't get out of.
Yes.
And it's a clusterfuck and a humanitarian nightmare.
It's, I don't have,
but you're running
been?
For president and getting allegedly close to 15% of the vote.
And you don't know what it is.
And you know, and you were a governor of a state.
It's amazing. Yeah. Like my apolitical brother probably knows what Aleppo is. But I was like, what do you want to do about Aleppo? He'd be like, that's that place over there that's getting bombed a lot, right?
And yeah, but like if you're running for president...
Know that much. He would maybe not know that it was in Syria, but he would be like, I've heard of that. It's like a real bad, right?
So does Gary Johnson... He doesn't get credit for being ignorant, but for honesty or, you know, for not at least having the light bulb come on in his head and said, oh shit, I don't know what that is. Yeah, Aleppo, it's a serious problem, and we've been giving it a lot of thought, and... You know, something definitely needs to be done about
know.
It, or you know, say
I,
something
because
we know what Trump would say.
I have a great plan.
Yeah, I have a great
plan.
It's
going to work great.
I'm going to put the best people on it.
I'm going to put the best people on it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and
I got this.
Morning Joe and Meekle shake their head and say he's so presidential.
Great.
Well, not anymore. Now they don't like each other. But
right. God, who cares? That was hilarious. That was really
funny. I had to tell Raul about that. And
is he going, Gary Johnson?
He gave up on Gary Johnson because of some trade thing a while ago, so he doesn't like Gary Johnson anymore.
We got to get Raul back on the podcast.
Yeah, we will.
Anyway, getting back to, I don't even think it matters, the Commander-in-Chief Forum.
Oh, is that what it was called?
Yeah, the Commander-in-Chief Forum.
Let's go over what the things Trump said.
Yes.
Before we get to Clinton.
Yes.
Trump just gave all these kissy faces to Vladimir Putin again and doubled and tripled down on it in the last couple of days. And it's getting like not even disturbing, but like creepy. Like he's really got a man crush on Vladimir Putin.
He does.
He really hearts him. So that's nice, I guess. He said we should have seized the oil in Iraq, which I don't even know what that means. Take the oil. I mean, there's oil fields. So you like privatize the oil fields in Iraq and then like have an imperial
presence. We colonizing Iraq now and we're gonna take their resources
and again Matt Lauer doesn't call him on that nor does anybody really in the quote mainstream press but so he said that. He also said that the generals have been reduced to rubble, and I don't even know what that means.
And he said he was going to appoint new ones, and you're like, that's actually
not
how it works.
No, that's not how it worked. No, he's going to give them 30 days to come up with a plan to defeat ISIS, which why would they have to do that? Because didn't he have the secret plan to defeat ISIS?
He has a secret plan, though.
So why does he need the generals to come up with
it? I don't know. That's a secret plan. It's make the generals do it, or I'm just going to appoint new ones. It's
well, then
not
it's not
like
a secret anymore.
It's also not how you don't want us to appoint generals. That's not how that works. It's a rank in the military that you earn. And then
well, the president does appoint like the commanders in certain areas.
Sure, sure. And like his own
and
advisors.
The
but you don't just get to be like, you're a general now. Come be my general. That's not, it's a military rank.
Well, just Flynn will be just his right hand.
Just you're a general now, Sue, and Mickey, my friend from junior high, is a general.
Like
and
an
you're
Adam Sandler
general.
Movie.
Yeah, and then they're just my generals, and they're going to come up with a plan for me. Like, that's
it's
not how it fucking works.
He also said that during his...
And how do... Wait, hold on. How do you get away with, as the Republican presidential nominee, calling the generals of the military rubbish?
Rubble.
Rubble. They've got... What?
Gun your Trump. But here's another thing he said. This was amazing. I mean, it was all amazing, but this was really just... People don't even know how to react to this, which is how Trump gets away with all this stuff, because everybody's just left dumbfounded. He said that he got his first intelligence briefing, classified intelligence briefing, and he said, in those meetings, they told me that they really hate Obama and Clinton, basically, or that they're terrible at their jobs.
What?
First of all, of course, they didn't say that. Second of all, that's where the media kind of screwed up on this, because they, instead of going in a direction and saying, that is such utter bullshit, I can't believe he would have said that. They said, oh, gosh, if that really happened, that is a serious breach of protocol that we've never seen before. So it's like,
you're giving credence to the idea
that actually happened.
Are you fucking with me right now? They're like, oh, my God. I swear to God. You cannot.
Well, even MSNBC types got sucked into this. Even I think Chris Hayes a little bit and some people I really like got sucked in to going onto this tangent where. This would be a really horrible breach of protocol for these intelligence people to say these things as if, like, playing in a pretend universe where this was actually something that might have actually happened.
That's insane. That's like if Trump was like, God came and spoke to me and told me whatever. And, like, when George W. Bush used to say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God's
they didn't go, oh, my God. God speaks to him. This is a news story. God exists and he speaks to George W. Bush. What the fuck? Apparently he was right this whole... Nobody said that. That's not
well,
a real
Fox,
thing.
Fox News probably said it.
That's not a real thing. That did not prove that God exists because a crazy person said he talks to him. Do you know what I mean? It does not prove that the generals or whoever is the CIA...
The intelligence
was
people.
Was like, we fucking hate Hillary and Obama. And they're like, oh, fuck, I had no idea. That's not how it works. I'm flabbergasted.
But isn't that just one amazing example...
Oh, my God.
...of how, to Trump's credit, for lack of a better word, he just plays the media. And they just don't know how to do their jobs, and they can't do their jobs, and they do his ridiculous bidding... reacting the way they do to the shit he says.
Because
the only thing the only thing you should say to that is, Donald Trump, that is complete bullshit.
That's
nobody
totally
said anything
bullshit.
Like, why would you say something like that? It's, you know, in front of the American people. That's asinine.
That's absolute bullshit. It has no basis in reality. You have no proof. And why are you repeating shit you heard in your top secret classified CIA meeting, by the way?
That's another good point.
I can't.
Well, he said this at this. And then, of course, and keep in mind that, you know, a couple hours ago, I heard David Brooks said they were both equally as bad.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Oh, man. I bet she was just. Oh, man. Whew. Are you fucking kidding me right now? That's insane.
So, I mean, the beat just goes on and on and on. We bitch every week about how the media has lost their mind and the double standards have gotten so comically ridiculous. And
yet the fucking polls are tightening, so it matters. Like,
it does matter
when, like, it's happening. People look at it's, and it's like it's the
because
whole
people,
media
people
so
don't.
It's like you hear it from every source. It's not just MSNBC or just Fox or whatever. It's the New York Times,
right,
reporting so badly and making him seem so mainstream and normal and her seem so scandalous that people are like, I guess that's the reality.
Yes,
that's the narrative.
Exactly. It filters in, because unlike you and I, people that are just doing their jobs and taking their kids to soccer practice and making dinner, they're not watching an hour or two of MSNBC or CNN a night, shit is just filtering in subconsciously.
From all directions. And it's the same thing from all directions. And when the same thing comes at you from 20 different sources, you go, that's probably true.
Hillary's corrupted the email thing. Right. And Trump is saying these
Something
things.
Something about the foundation is really bad over there. And Trump, he seems presidential, I guess.
He went to Mexico. That seems all right.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so maddening. And it's,
well, a lot of that facade is going to get ripped off at the debates if he shows up.
I worry.
Well, I think that Kellyanne Conway will try to drag him kicking and screaming.
I worry. Well, the thing that I guess
I'm sure that Bannon and Trump will try to get out of it
is that at least we aren't going to be counting on the moderators to hold him accountable. We'll be counting on Hillary Clinton to hold him accountable.
And she's doing a good job of that the last few days.
She's going to look like a bitch, and people are going to call her that.
So what?
And I think that's good.
Yeah,
I think people need to see her be fierce and bitchy and call him out on his bullshit.
Yeah, and David Brooks will complain about it and call her ungrateful and shrill, but who fucking cares? God,
fuck you, dude. That's ridiculous.
I really wish we could have him on the podcast so you could just rip him to pieces. And you would. He's a smart guy, but he wouldn't stand
really
a chance.
He's a really smart guy.
He's not as smart.
But he makes me crazy. And he hates Trump, which great, but so
he hates him equally.
Cool. So you're just a, anyway. Yes. Okay. So that's horrifying. What did Ms. Clinton have to say?
Mrs. Clinton got asked for about 60-70% of the time only about the emails by Matt Lauer.
Because that has to do with her foreign policy and commander in chief. What exactly?
It's in the news.
Cool. So and, she has probably and, literally and, like binders full of plans to deal with actual national security issues around the world.
But it was 70%.
And we didn't talk about that.
No, we just talked about emails as if it hasn't been litigated and talked about. And there was a CIA report and the James Comey report and this report and that report
and
this hearing. 13-hour
hearing where she talked about the emails, among other things, including Benghazi. Cool. So let's
Matt
just
Lauer
re-litigate
her on
it
that.
In the media for no fucking reason.
And Hillary, and what do you think Hillary said with all these email questions?
I don't know.
She said, can we fucking move on to some real
right.
stuff?
Good.
And Matt Lauer said, no.
Wait, no, we aren't moving on.
We aren't moving on. We're going to talk about emails.
I think it should be like and the law that says that you have to, if you do an interview with, it's not a law, but it's a guideline that HR people go by in order to prevent being accused of discrimination in mm-hmm. hiring. That if you interview people, you have to ask all of them the same questions. Because what was happening was, like, you ask the white guy a bunch of easy questions and the black guy different questions, and you can't prove why you hired one over the other if you didn't ask the same questions.
Right.
I think that should be the rule. You ask them the exact same questions. Period. Other than, like, you get, like, three that are like,
candidate
you
specific.
Said this, you said this, you said this.
Your position is this.
Your position is this, your position is this, whatever.
That would make more sense in a town hall forum like this, but that's
right.
not what happened.
God.
And it wasn't all, it was also wasn't the
it's
style. So
insulting to her capacity and intelligence and knowledge base about this subject matter.
Well,
material.
And because she kept trying to move on and not wanting to completely relitigate the email thing, which is
smart.
The smart thing to do.
Yep.
She was, quote, to quote David Brooks, evasive.
Evasive. Yeah. Okay.
When we did get to...
It's cool. I'm just going to burn the building down really quick.
When we did get to policy, she did make a fairly bold and stunning proclamation that I wouldn't have made. She said, we will never, ever send troops into Iraq again. Well, I don't know how you can ever promise that, but she did.
Okay.
And she also said, we're never, ever going to go into Syria, I think is what she said. And again, I would rather presidents not make promises.
Yeah, that we
like
don't
that.
Know. You don't know what's going
to
happen.
I mean, Roosevelt in 1940 to get elected said, our boys are not going to be fighting in Europe. And he knew damn well they were going to be fighting in Europe.
Yeah, and our lack of going for such a long time caused a lot more. Uh-huh. Death, suffering, and, you know.
Well, that was a recalcitrant Republican Congress who were the big isolationists yes. who didn't want to get involved in the war.
Yep.
So you had different things were back then. But anyway, so that's kind of what happened. But the big news, especially in the right-wing sphere, was the conspiracy theory that Hillary had an earpiece or that her big...
What? I will literally burn the building down. You're not going to even tell me. Go
Rachel,
ahead.
You miss such amazing stuff being off the grid during the day.
This is not happening. Go ahead.
It even made Fox News for a hot minute. I don't know if they're still talking. They probably are because it's Fox News and they're off the rails. But there was somebody, I think it started in Donald Trump Reddit world, where somebody said Hillary Clinton was using an earpiece. Look at the big gold pearl earring she's wearing. It's really an earpiece. And someone was feeding her answers because she's brain damaged or whatever.
Seriously? No. She is... Okay. No. That is not... Okay.
The right wingers are
My blood pressure is going up so much. I can't. It's just straight fucking sexism is all it is.
Oh,
brilliant.
Well, not only is it sexism.
Wonky, policy-driven idea person who knows fucking everything. She knows everything. When you watch those hearings, she knows everything. She knows everything about the world. She knows everything. She is...
Yeah, whether you like her or not.
You have to admit that. You cannot take away... It's
well, since everybody forgot, this is why I'm really looking forward to the debates where that will become crystal clear that she knows everything and Donald Trump knows nothing. They can't come soon enough. But not only is it sexism, it's part of this growing cottage industry that people that used to be considered mainstream, like Giuliani and Newt Gingrich, are now espousing that Hillary Clinton is on death's door and brain damaged and demented.
Yeah,
and
Louis
Gohmert
came out today and was like, she's mentally impaired. She's mentally impaired.
I think it's funny that anybody listens to anything Louis Gohmert
has to
say.
He's like a weasel. I can't even look at his face. I hate him. And yeah, he came out today and said that Yale Law School, right? She went to Yale, graduate, and former Secretary of State and Senator of New York is mentally impaired. And you're Louis Gohmert, by the way.
Rep from Texas.
Yeah, cool.
From, where is it? I forget the name of the hick town he's from.
Unfathomable for anyone to say that about any other presidential candidate in history. Can you imagine if anyone had said that Mitt Romney was mentally impaired? Or, I mean, the liberals sort of made fun of George Bush for being stupid because he was.
Everybody did.
And he couldn't finish a sentence or pronounce words. But that's true, though. Right? He called it Afghanister at one point. And he said nuclear all the time. Like, the man could not complete a sentence. But that was just pointing out things he said. This is so beyond the pale. You can't just say things like that about this woman who is...
Well, here's the funny thing is that the right-wingers do this and think it's going to help them with women in the general public to hear that kind of stuff. And maybe it is. Maybe we're in this weird cycle where that stuff filters through.
No, but he thinks that. Nobody is going to be like, oh, yeah, she's dying now because... She coughed and this complete asinine.
And she had a concussion. Well, they tried to have it both ways. When she got the concussion and it had to delay the Benghazi hearings,
it was a fake concussion.
It was a fake concussion.
She was stalling.
But now it's a real concussion
and
it means that she's brain damaged. Like she's.
And she also has what? Parkinson's and she's got like.
Right. And they want to have it both ways and that she's a crazy, maniacal, evil, twisted, murderous. Plotting, fiendish,
brilliant
Dr. Evil villain, but she's also demented and stupid and brain damaged and needs an earpiece just to answer simple questions.
Right.
So they want to have that both ways, like they did with Obama. Like he is a Marxist communist and also an ardent Muslim, which those things don't
supports ISIS. Yeah. It's not the same. That's not a thing.
And he's an incompetent boob, but he's also an evil, maniacal dictator who's ushering in a new world order.
Right. it's amazing the things that man can do. It really is.
Yeah, you talk about multitasking.
It really is. Yeah. No, it's pretty incredible.
So they're playing that same game with Hillary Clinton.
It's so insulting. It makes me want really.
I can't believe you didn't hear about the earpiece thing. You got to look some of this up.
Oh, my God. No. Anyway. I really don't think I can physically or emotionally handle reading that. I feel like I would
The only quote in mainstream, but not really, it got, I think, was Fox News talked about it. She's like, Jesus, oh, was she wearing Christ. An earpiece? No, she was not wearing a fucking earpiece, you idiots.
Need an earpiece. She's smarter. One pinky of her is smarter than all of fucking Fox News put together.
Yeah.
She would eat them all for lunch. They should all have a debate. Just the Fox family of fucking Hannity and whatever dog shit the people are over there. And then just Hillary just being like, actually, that's not true. And actually, that's not true. And let's have a debate.
Well, that's Fox a good News. Segue. Because in the second half, let's talk about the Stanford swimmer and the Roger Ailes sexual harassment suit.
Yeah.
So hold those thoughts. We will be right back at you. Welcome back to Irreverent Testimony, and this will be the creepy rapey hour.
Yeah,
because we got a lot of these kind of stories to talk about.
We do.
What did you want to get to first?
Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is this horrendous thing that happened in Canada. So I know it's not American politics, but it is a really good example of what kind of rape culture is. So, this Canadian judge, he's a federal judge in Canada, is facing the possibility of removal from the bench after he said some really awful things to a 19-year-old woman who was raped. He insinuated that she did not do enough to defend herself during the alleged attack. He said, quote, and this is in open court, "Why couldn't you just keep your knees together? Why didn't you just sink your bottom into the basin so he couldn't penetrate you?"
Because
she was raped over a bathroom sink at a party.
What?
Then he said young women want to have sex, particularly if they're drunk. He also said sometimes sex and pain go together, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
You've got to be fucking
kidding
me.
I'm not fucking kidding.
When did this happen?
During a 2014 sexual assault trial.
Okay.
He is now under investigation by the Canadian Judicial
Why
Council.
Why only now? Why not the next day?
Well, I think it takes a while, but they the reason it's in the news right now is because he's going to testify, or I guess he did testify today, before a 5-member committee.
Did he say he was drunk?
No. No.
Because that's the only plausible...
I mean... So let me just get through what's happening with him. So essentially, he has to go before this 5-person committee to explain himself.
An all-male committee?
Probably. I don't know.
Old white men.
Right. So he acquitted her rapist in this trial. He did.
Clearly.
She appealed. And the Alberta Court of Appeal overturned his ruling.
So hold on. You can appeal acquittals in Canada?
I guess so.
That's interesting.
It is. Very.
Yeah, I don't know much about Canadian justice.
I don't either at all. The Alberta Court of Appeal overturned his ruling, and she is scheduled for a second trial in November.
Huh.
Their judicial counsel's investigation began in November of 2015 because 4 law professors filed a complaint against him He then recused himself from any cases involving sex crimes, which is good because, as it turns out, he has no experience with criminal justice at all. He grew up in South Africa, moved his family to Botswana in 92, moved to Canada in 98, where he practiced as a lawyer doing mostly oil and gas and trust law. He was then appointed to the criminal courts, and then he was made into a federal judge.
I guess we need to explain how it works in Canada. It's obviously a little bit different.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just reading from this article.
Who appointed him?
I don't know.
Probably the last prime minister.
Right, right. Or, yeah, I really don't know how federal judges are appointed, but I would assume it's similar to the way we do it here.
Yeah. It's a little different there.
So his daughter, interestingly, is a victim, is a survivor of sexual assault. She was raped.
Good God.
And so she came out and called his comments disgraceful, but also said that his support of her after her own sexual assault means that he's not inherently, what did she say, an inherent or dedicated sexist. That he has empathy, blah, blah, blah.
But that's his own daughter.
Right. So then he apologized profusely. He has now gone on to educate himself. He went through mentoring, counseling about how victims of abuse respond to trauma, a crash course on the history and current state of sexual assault law.
Well, that's all good, but
law professor who called his comments rude and stupid testified Thursday that she had 5 educational sessions with camp about how to deal with sexual assault cases. Right, exactly. The victim, whose name obviously is not being released, said that his comments made her hate herself, quote.
Sure, of course.
And that she felt like she was a slut and that she should have done something to prevent her assault.
Of course. Of course, which is the intent of saying those things.
Now, so this is a federal judge.
Yeah.
I don't really have a lot of words for that kind of language. That sounds like something that Milo whatever douchebag would say to troll someone on the internet or something. I mean, to say, why didn't you keep your legs together? It, like, do you not understand how rape works? I don't know.
No, Todd Aiken, you know, the body's got...
Why didn't you just push your butt into the sink? That's not how it lets... It's just flabbergasting.
Here's the thing. And I guess I'm glad either because of public pressure or whatever, he's repentant and trying to learn that rape is bad. Or that it's not easily preventable. But... Right. What was his explanation for saying these things in the first place is what I'd like to know.
He didn't have one. He just apologized, and his daughter said he may be a little old-fashioned.
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 That's horrifying.
Yeah, it is. So the committee that he's going before will decide in the coming weeks whether or not he will be removed from that seat. And when you think about that and how horrifying it is...
And why so many women don't come forward to the criminal justice system.
It's also not uncommon because when we look at what's going on in the U.S., Kellyanne Conway, who's Trump's campaign manager, saying in an interview on television that if women were stronger, rape wouldn't happen. That basically women are weak, so men just rape them.
Then that was in the context of women shouldn't be in the military.
Right, which because she was trying to defend Donald Trump's comment that when you put men and women together, what do you think was going to happen?
Rape is inevitable.
And you're like, I expect men not to rape them.
Let's think about this again, because since we're talking about fitness to be commander-in-chief, you have the potential commander-in-chief in the armed forces on record saying basically rape is okay. Or rape is to be expected.
It's to be expected. Absolutely. And when we talk about rape culture, that's what we're talking about. Is this idea that rape is normalized. It's to be expected. It is, not something that's troublesome, really. And that it's the fault of women. And that what's so striking to me, too, in talking about this... in the media, the Brock Turner thing. It's also not really punishable because when we look at a rape and we look at the impact that that has, what we've decided as a culture to do is to look at how the punishment for this assault and violence against another human being, how that punishment might affect the person who committed the crime. No other crime do we do that.
If it's a man.
Right. We don't.
If it's a woman on trial for murder or
extortion. Right. There's no other crime in which we look at the.
A young white man, at least.
Perpetrator and say, gosh, I don't want to be too harsh because what about the rest of his life? We look at the victim. If it's, you know, murder, if it's any sort of violent crime, our focus is on how it impacted the victim or the victim's family in cases of death.
Right.
We don't say, well, we just don't want him to go to jail forever because that would be ruining his life.
I would postulate that only when it's a young white male who's the perpetrator.
Correct. If it's a young black male who's been accused of rape of really anyone, then he is a violent predator who must be locked away forever and ever.
Which may be true, which may or not be true, but that's the default.
But that's the default, right. Which we don't have. And they keep calling him a swimmer. He's a rapist.
Yeah.
He's a rapist, not a swimmer. He's a rapist.
Yeah, he didn't swim his victim.
No, he didn't beat her in a swim match. That's not what he's on trial for.
No.
His being a great swimmer is really irrelevant to the fact that he raped an unconscious woman behind a dumpster. And this is the thing.
I don't care
that
if he
really
was a dump truck driver.
Kills me.
Matter.
No, I don't care. What kills me is when we talk about why women don't come forward and don't report rape and sort of the trauma that happens to them and that these men often it's a he said, she said kind of situation. And so they feel that they're not going to be believed. And so they don't. So then we have this perfect test storm case where this rapist found a woman unconscious behind a dumpster and raped her and was discovered by two other men who chased him down, grabbed him, called the police, witnessed the rape happening, called the police. He was arrested on site. They have physical evidence on her body. They have two eyewitnesses.
And a confession.
That is an overwhelming, what they would call an orgy of evidence, right? That is an overwhelming amount of evidence that this thing happened, that he absolutely violently sexually assaulted an unconscious woman behind a dumpster. Even in that case, the best possible amount of evidence that we can have, he was sentenced to 6 months in jail, and he served 3. So for a woman who was assaulted at a party by a guy she knew, what possible chance does she have for justice? When she looks at this case and she looks at Brock Turner and she says, I don't even have that. I knew him and we were kind of friends and he offered to walk me home. And when we got there, he pulled me into my room and raped me and then left. They're not going to believe me, especially if he's a football player or a swimmer or whatever, right? They're not going to come forward. If Brock Turner did 3 months, what possible chance does she have to have her rapist be brought to justice?
Well, then look at Baylor, and you have a systemic cover-up led by Ken Starr, by the way.
Yep.
It all ties back to the Clintons.
Yep.
Of covering up a pattern of serial rapists in the midst of the Baylor football program.
Yep.
And that cost Ken Starr, it cost the football coach his job. Which big fucking
I don't
deals
give a shit about
them.
Your job. You should go to jail.
Yeah, they should.
Jail.
They should.
Jail.
They should.
That's a crime. Right? So that's tampering with evidence. What's the term?
Yeah, good luck getting any Texas prosecutor to go after Ken Starr.
Or football coaches, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
But it really, I mean, it's really hard. And people, the way, again, the media, this fucking cycle, the way people are talking about it is really upsetting because they keep referring to him, the mainstream media sort of keeps referring to him in this way that is very upsetting for women and for
it's
everybody.
It's upsetting for
I
me.
Think.
Well, let me tell you this, and this is what's really upsetting to me. Not that my upsetness should be special, but I've literally seen more pieces in the mainstream media. Now, the stuff we love, like Wonked and Jezebel and Daily Kos, is where you actually get the real common sense
brutal
shit.
Yep.
But like in the Washington Post and New York Times, it's either very blasé, this raises ethical questions, or more stuff actually sympathetic to him.
Right. So
which
he,
is fucking crazy.
It's so insane and so insulting, and it makes, I at least I know for me and for the women in my life, makes us feel very unsafe and very, very much like we're out here on our own and our bodies are not our own and they're not to be protected. And if something happens to us, fucking nothing will be done about it. It makes us feel very unsafe and very, scared and angry and sort of deflated. And like, you know, if somebody like this in a case like this, there is no arguing. He said, she said, there is no,
no, no, there is nothing none of that. Like that.
And if that, if even so, cause we get that all the time, right? People are always like, well, maybe she was lying or maybe this, maybe that,
maybe she's vindictive.
In this case, there's none of that. There's an overwhelming,
there's no ambiguity. There's no gray area.
And still, that's what happened. So it just makes us feel like completely powerless, angry, unsafe. It's devastating. It really is.
And granted, there have been some think pieces out there like, doesn't seem like justice was done here. Right. But then, so this has been going on for decades and centuries.
Exactly. So this is not one case of one kid who got off. This is systemic. This is a problem with the way that our criminal justice system and culture treats sexual assault. And hold on one sec. So the other thing that I've been hearing a lot about, which I sort of love, but the way it's been treated, I hate. So there were some protesters outside of his home in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. God, it's always Ohio.
They were armed men who stood outside of his home with guns and signs. They also used sidewalk chalk to write on the pavement outside of his house, like, rapist lives here. One guy was holding a sign that said, castrate rapists. Yeah. One guy was holding a sign that says, if I rape Brock, will I only get 3 months?
I mean, I get it, but I don't, the vigilante justice thing does not work for me. I mean, I get it, but
it doesn't work for me either at all, because the justice system should not have failed her so horribly. But I also felt, again, because I just feel like I feel so powerless and so unsafe that when I saw that article, I was like, you know, I'm not really a gun person. I'm actually pretty against guns and all of that. But I had this moment of one guy held a sign that said, if she doesn't get her life back, why should you get yours? And I just thought, like, right. They're not going to shoot him. They're not going to do anything to him. But they're making a point that's like, you need to feel unsafe too. You need to feel like this is bigger than just this one woman. This is a problem. And the justice system is not going to do anything about it. If we're just going to let people rape people and there's no punishment, I don't know.
Well, the danger zone of that comes in where people see it the same way when they think abortion is baby murder. So therefore abortion is legal and rape is not. Yeah, but they don't see it that way. And they feel that the justice system has failed their cause. So now they're going to be outside people's homes with guns and chalk.
I understand the slippery slope, but abortion is legal and rape is not legal. Rape is a crime. It's a violent crime. And we're treating it like somebody, you know, drank too much and peed on somebody else's lawn or you egged someone's house. Like, this is a violent assault on someone's body and we are treating it with the same level of jail time as being caught with a little coke after a party.
Here's my question. This judge in this case, this was a local or a state judge or I forget.
I don't know.
Well, whatever that judge was, I guarantee, because judges get elected in this country at this
not
level.
Not necessarily.
Not at the federal level.
Well, it depends on the state. So I don't know. Because in Colorado, we elect judges. We vote to retain them. In other states, judges are not elected. And at the federal level, they're not.
In Ohio, I think they are.
Okay.
So I can guarantee you this judge, when it had to have been a man, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, yes. Sometimes women judges say horrible things to rape victims too.
Yes.
But I'm sure his thing was, I will be a tough law and order judge and I will clean up the streets or I will whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to start asking judicial candidates, what is your stance on rape?
Yep.
What is your stance on sexual assault? How do you feel about those cases? Do you think those should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law?
And do you think we should believe women? Or do you think that the man's testimony and the woman's testimony in court bear the same amount of weight? Because in no other case do we say, you know, like in cases of murder, obviously the victim can't come forward and mm-hmm. say, this is who murdered me. It would be nice, but no. If someone is beaten, if someone is assaulted or beat up or stabbed, let's say, and they survive, if they testify about who did it, nobody goes, maybe.
Well,
I mean, maybe
it was dark and I didn't see
you.
His face.
Did you like ask him to stab you or were you like kind of in like a...
Did you have too much to drink?
Did you look stabbable? Do you feel like... Because maybe he just felt like you were really... We don't do that. We treat your testimony as though...
I'm sorry to laugh. But
what you're saying
funny.
Happened.
Yeah.
And we don't then have the guy come on who stabbed you go, I didn't do it. And you're like, I guess it didn't happen then. Like, that's not how the justice system works in this country.
Right.
Except when it comes to sexual assault.
Right.
And that's because of rape culture and because of sexism.
Did you look stabbable?
Did you wear that really stabby dress? Did you wear a sign that said, like, please stab me? I would be okay with stabbing.
Yeah.
Stabbing consent.
Or did your body language say that?
Yeah. Were you just like, yeah, like really seeming stabbable? You know what I mean? Like, just like somebody was going
to
stab you.
Like, you were going out that night to get stabbed.
You were
definitely going
out to get stabbed. Like, come on. Let's be honest here. He did what boys do. You know what I mean? You looked pretty stabbable. You seemed stabbable. He fucking stabbed you. Like, what do you want? No.
Besides, we don't want to ruin his life for one little
stab. For one little stab? He just stabbed you.
He's in the chess club.
He's a very nice boy. He's a very nice boy who should not really be punished for stabbing you. Let's be honest. He has a whole future ahead of him. I'm sorry that you no longer have, you know, a kidney.
Your mental health.
And you're traumatized. But, like, he's on the chess club. So you are stabbable. He stabbed you. Let's just move on. Let's just everyone move on with your life.
Live and learn.
Right. So it's super frustrating. It's super frustrating. And that, I don't know... I think there's a lot of things we can do. And one of them is the next thing I want to talk about. And this is really surprising to me and very heartening. And I don't really know how it happened, but it did. So let me pull it up really quick. The state, let's see. Okay. The U.S. Congress, the both House and the Senate, amazingly.
They can't pass Zika funding.
Passed. The Federal Sexual Assault Survivors Bill of Rights.
Wow.
It was unanimously passed in the House of Representatives.
Louis Gohmert voted for it?
Yes.
Wow.
So, Barack Obama, they need to go through, there's one tiny thing between the Senate and House bill that are a tiny bit different that they have to go through, but there's not expected to be any problem. Then it will go to Barack Obama's desk, who will obviously sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what it does. The Sexual Assault Survivors Bill of Rights will ensure that victims are offered a medical forensic examination, often called a rape kit, for free.
Yes.
Lots of states make rape victims pay
yes.
for their rape kit,
yes.
which is pretty fucking horrific.
Didn't Colorado do that at one time?
Yes.
Yeah.
That they are informed of the results of the rape kit.
That's important.
That the evidence gathered is kept for 20 years or the duration of the statute of limitations.
Yeah, okay.
That,
I have some questions, but I'll let you finish.
Survivors may request to be notified 60 days before the rape kit is destroyed, and that they may request to preserve the evidence for a longer period of time. Why these things are not already a thing is a little bit shocking, but true. So what this bill was intended to do was sort of fix the patchwork system that we have right now on a state level. Every state's a little bit different. Some like this.
Well, let's see, how does it do that since rape laws are state laws? It's not like you don't commit federal rape.
No, but they're requiring every state to do these four things, essentially.
Okay.
The reason that...
Do you think they'll do it like with Obamacare and immigration? You think that there'll be some governor saying, I'm not going to do this bill and I'm going to sue Obama?
It also establishes a working group to evaluate the efficacy of its provisions and report back in 2 years. Okay. So there's going to be an over, like a committee sort of watching the states and figuring out what the loopholes and problems might be.
It's passed unanimously, huh?
Unanimously.
There wasn't one
the
Republican
House.
Who was just no. like, we can't afford this or this money has to come out of Planned Parenthood.
No, because the state's an unfunded mandate. The states have to pay for it. So that's why. Okay, so what's really interesting and why what's terrifying and awful. So there was a 24-year-old woman named Amanda Nguyen who was horrified to learn that evidence from her own rape kit, which she underwent 2 years ago in Massachusetts, would have been destroyed after 6 months unless she filed paperwork to request further preservation.
Yeah.
She didn't know how to do that. It was very bureaucratic. And then she figured it out. She has to go through the same process every 6 months to keep her kit preserved.
Mm-hmm.
She said, quote, the system essentially makes me live my life by the date of my rape.
Yeah.
So she started this group called RISE. It's a nonprofit that supports survivors of sexual assault and intimate partner violence. And they're the people that lobbied California Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren.
Lofgren, yeah.
With California Representative Mimi Walters, who presented the bill to the House, and it passed.
I'm just amazed Congress did anything, let alone something really great.
Like, to help women and sexual assault survivors. I was shocked when I read it. I was like, I don't even know what to do with that. Like, that's amazing. But it's also kind of like, these are things that should already be being done.
Yeah, but and a couple of years ago, they couldn't pass the Violence Against Women's Act until people got shamed into it.
I know. But
and
this is really good.
Chuck Grassley made a bunch of bullshit excuses why they didn't want to pass it or they didn't need it. Or
Right. Because, you know, violence against women's not really a thing.
No.
So I'm super heartened by that. I think that I've heard just so many stories of, you know, we didn't preserve the evidence properly. We didn't preserve it at all. It was destroyed. It was never evaluated. It was never entered into a system.
No, it was sitting in a bag and it dried up.
It's been sitting in a bag. Yeah. And also that because it was never tested and entered, this man went on to rape 7 more women. And then when they discovered the final, whenever he got caught, they go back and go, oh, we have all these rape kits just sitting here. If we had tested them, we would have known 6 rapes ago that this guy's a rapist.
Yeah.
But instead, 6 more women had to get raped before we realized. So I think that it's really good in terms of that problem.
Sadly,
that we're trying
it doesn't
to
work
that.
Like a Law and Order SVU.
No.
Not even
not.
In New York.
No.
Be great if it did. We had these really dogged detectives and the DA and the medical examiners were all just, oh, we're going to get this rapist. We're going to work around the clock and...
No, it doesn't work that way at all. Oftentimes they take a statement, go, I don't know, she didn't seem that upset, and then drop it.
Yeah, or they'd get a rape kit, it goes in a drawer, forget about it.
Yep, it goes into evidence, never gets tested. And the one really good part about this bill is that it notifies the victim, it requires the state to test it, and it notifies the victim within 60 days of it being tested what the results were. So it holds the state accountable to the victim so that she's not just like... twisting in the wind, wondering if anyone gives a shit. There's a law that says they have to test it. They have to notify you of the results. And it compels police departments to take this shit more seriously.
Well, that's amazing. It's been a long time since I thought about anything Congress did and felt good about
it. Me too. I know. I really like, I was reading this and I was like, holy shit, I can't believe it. And I had to like source it twice. Literally, because I was like, I don't know how this is possible.
And it's just like, is it April Fool's?
And finally, I found an article from Planned Parenthood about it. And I was like, all right, it's probably true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's really great. And I think, you know, it's been so much in the news recently. And I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the documentary The Hunting Ground was really good in pushing it to the forefront of what people were talking about. And then all of these incredibly brave men and women on college campuses protesting and causing a fuss.
And the right wing hates people protesting
even,
in college.
Even in my alma mater, CSU in Fort Collins, there is Fraternity Row and it's a bunch of frat houses and they've taken to, on the first day of school or the first day that people can move into the dorms, I think actually they go outside of, and so the Fraternity Row is directly across the street from CSU.
Mm-hmm.
So they go outside of their dorms and they put up obnoxious banners that are very rapey.
Yeah, they're frat boy banners.
Yeah, right. Things like drop your daughters off here, free beer for MILFs.
Those are both pretty tame. But
I mean, all kinds of gross shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then there was a bunch of protesters and they were dudes. And they went out and they made their own signs and stood in front of the fraternities mm-hmm. and said, like, we do not support rape culture. Read our signs, not theirs. All kinds of lovely, lovely things that I was very proud of. And they were interviewed by a local paper that I still read because I can't help it. And they were saying, you know, we feel like it's our jobs to fight this fight, too, that, like, women need to, it's not for women to fix, right? It's not women's job to fix sexual assault on college campuses.
No, no.
Their job is to just survive.
Live their life.
Live their life and just, that's
not
it.
Not in fear.
Yes.
Hopefully.
So we thought we would come out here today and be like, these guys are assholes. We don't support rape culture. We don't support this kind of messaging. This is not the community that we think we're a part of. And I just thought it was lovely. Yeah. I just thought it was great. So I really applaud.
Well, I like that idea that you just said. It's not women's job to be less rapeable. It's like with the police brutality thing.
Right. It's not black people's job to fix this.
Yeah.
It's our job.
Like, well, just cooperate with police. It's like, now the cops need to stop shooting unarmed people.
Correct.
When it's completely unnecessary.
Right. It's not black people's job to stop police shootings. That's not going to happen.
It's not citizens' job. Who are not actually threatening the life of a police officer and get killed. It's not their fault and their problem to solve.
No. And they can't solve it.
Yeah.
I can tell you as a woman, I can't solve rape. I can't fix it. I can just try to move through the world and that's all I can do is try to survive. It is.
And guys, you have no idea what it's like because you have never experienced maybe once in some weird scenario where you felt unsafe in that manner, you can relate to it. What, and I don't want to say average woman, but a typical woman will face on a daily basis in any major city or populated area
or urban, there are a lot of men. Rural, anywhere. I mean, it's always so interesting to talk to the men in my life about what it's like to go through my day. Because you can't know.
No.
And when you're with me, it doesn't happen.
No.
And so
very rarely
I get why a lot of like my older brother's like that. You're being exaggerating and you're being overdramatic and you know, that kind of stuff. I heard that my whole life, but I'm not.
No.
And it happens.
And if you
all
carried like a secret camera with you or something and just walked like down 16th Street for a couple hours,
if I just did my day. If I literally just like went to a gas station, went to work, went to lunch, like.
And you said, hey, Josh, here's an average day. Watch the tape.
Here's the way that men treat me when I'm by myself.
His jaw would hit the floor.
He'd be like, that is not a reality. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's a crazy thing. And I get that men don't understand sort of microaggressions and catcalling and that kind of stuff. And catcalling is even a thing now in Colorado, which it didn't used to be. I don't know what happened, but.
Well, that's a good segue.
Cause
I mean, Andrea Tentaros, nobody even talks about her anymore because all the things, Andrea Tentaros also suing Roger Ailes and Fox News for sexual harassment.
Yes.
And she's one of these big, like, catcalling's not a bad thing and
right.
It's over-exaggerated and sexual
right.
harassment's
I
not
take
a thing.
It as a compliment.
Yeah.
When I stop getting catcalled, I'll feel old.
Yeah, and she literally turned around and sued Fox for doing just that.
Well, they did more than that, but yeah.
They did more than that, but yeah, it's amazing hypocrisy. And I'm not saying that it was right to catcall her. She doesn't have a right to sue.
No,
I'm
she absolutely has a right to sue, but it's amazing to me. But that's the whole thing, right? I think that she was pressured to say that. I think
probably.
That to keep her job, they were like, no.
Or she
gonna,
knew that was her job.
She knew her job was to do this. There was even reports about the Fox News thing that like, when there was a leg cam on one of the news shows, which just like focused on the women's legs for a shot. that women were encouraged to wear certain types of clothing, that Roger Ailes would walk the hallways and tell them to spin around for him. And he would approve their outfits and their hair and makeup.
That doesn't make you want to projectile vomit at all, does it?
Oh, my God. But I also have this, nothing about that is right. It is illegal. He should be, I mean, he shouldn't be breathing my air, but.
Now he's running the Trump campaign.
Right. Great. So good. So good. But I also want to be like, what? Why do you want to work for Fox News? Why are women Republican? I don't understand.
I don't want to watch for Fox News. Big ass paychecks.
Well, yeah. And I'm not saying that women should not accept jobs at Fox News without, you know, like, I'm not saying, oh, well, if you work at Fox News, you should get sexually harassed. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. You should not be exploited, demeaned, sexually harassed in your workplace. I don't care if you work for the KKK. Like, you should not. That's not a thing that should happen to women, no matter what. And I think a lot of women probably took a job at Fox News because they were budding journalists and mm-hmm. they got an offer. And so I need a job and there's economic requirements to live in the world. I get that. And I'm not saying that. But what I just wonder is, like, I just don't get Republican women, essentially. I don't understand why women just don't. It's like why poor people are Republican too, though. I just don't understand why anyone's a Republican. Just voting against your own self-interest is maddening to me. But anyway,
with the catcalling, sexual harassment, rape culture thing, it we are in a weird area, and we're not even really talking about it because we're in the midst of a presidential campaign. But this Roger Ailes thing is huge, and it raises a lot of troubling questions on that end, right? Especially when it comes to Republican women, because gross Republican men who are sexist pigs, we get it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're Republican women, again, we're doing this weird play both sides of a thing where catcalling isn't so bad, or it's exaggerated, or rape culture is a myth, sexual harassment is a myth. Yet when it happens to me, how dare you? I'm suing you for $20 million. It's got to be one or the other, guys. And
it's the Republican empathy gap again.
You want to trash liberals for bringing these things to light. And then when you're a victim, now you get it, but you don't really get it.
Well, and they trashed sexual harassment. Maybe not Republican women, although certainly like Phyllis Schlafly, who just died, by the way.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Did. you know, one of the more controversial and famous feminist icons, Catherine McKinnon, with whom I agree about 10% with on feminist issues, but nonetheless, she is a feminist icon. In her professional life, was an attorney and basically created sexual harassment as a thing that could exist.
Yeah.
And then in her feminist political theory, she and I disagree immensely, particularly on her views about sex. But and, you know, she was back in the 80s widely lauded as like her. It's like her and Gloria Steinem were the enemy, the she devil lesbian, whatever.
Before there was Hillary
feminist
Clinton.
Hate them. Right. The Republicans hated them. And yet the law that she basically created, she crafted it, she created it, she invented it and got it passed. Is now a law that these women are using, and I'm glad for them. I'm glad that they that she did that, and I'm glad that they have a venue in which to air their grievances.
Doesn't it drive you crazy though that if it didn't happen to them personally, they'd still be denying it or fighting its existence or downplaying its importance?
Yes, it's the Republican empathy gap. Unless it happens to me or someone I love, it doesn't matter or doesn't exist, right? It's Nancy Reagan with stem cells. It's Dick Cheney. Well, even he's a monster. He's
Dick Cheney with having
monster.
A
heart. I was going to say with his daughter, but he's still against LGBT issues.
Yeah.
It's Megyn Kelly, you know, until it happened to me, it didn't exist. You know what I mean? Until, or really Republicans in general, It doesn't matter if you say, if Donald Trump says that Rosie O'Donnell's a fat pig and that some attorney was disgusting because she had to breastfeed. If it happened to our darling Megyn Kelly, though, now all of a sudden he's a sexist. And why is he saying these horrible things about her? And, you know,
I don't even think what Fox viewers really care about that. I mean, remember the
hammer came down after that. After that first debate, when he was talking so much shit to her, the hammer came down on him for Megyn Kelly. People on the right were pissed at Donald Trump about what he said about her. And they were supporting her. And it was like, cool, but you weren't, you didn't give a shit when he said
so,
all
so
that
if that
about
was Candy
else.
Crowley.
Right.
They wouldn't.
Nobody cares. He said it about everybody else. But when you say it about my conservative darling, Megyn Kelly, now we're mad.
Now we've crossed the line.
Now we're mad. Okay. That's what Dan Savage calls the Republican empathy gap. Until it happens to you.
Yeah.
Once you have a gay kid, or once your daughter is sexually assaulted, or once, you know, your wife is sexually harassed. Or
yeah, that's interesting. Is Megyn Kelly the last moderator or journalist type person who's actually stood up to Trump and fact checked him to his face?
Wow.
Think about this for a second. Seriously. I guess in some of the other debates, a few people might have, but not as forcefully as Megyn Kelly did. Not that I remember.
Wow.
Because this was a typical time where she said, you said all these horrible
you said
things.
This, you
he said
that.
No, I didn't. Uh-huh. He's like, she's
and
like, yes,
she
fucking
video.
Did.
Uh-huh. Was it her that showed the video back in the debate days?
No, I think that was a different debate.
Okay.
No, I think it might have been her. I don't know.
I don't remember.
It's all a blur.
A million years ago. But no, she absolutely, to his face, was like, you said this. What the
yeah,
fuck?
Yeah, she did what Chris Wallace is now saying he won't do in the presidential debate. It's not our job to fact check.
You're a journalist.
or pretending to be one.
It's amazing, though.
Yeah, think about it. Like, she's the last person, and she's not. And I almost wish she was one of the debate moderators, because she's proven.
Well, fuck it. If she's going to do that, she should be.
Well, then they made Kissy Face in that big made-for-TV, you know, hug-it-out thing on Fox News.
I don't know anything about what that is.
Yeah, that happened a few months later. He forgot about it. But
yeah, I don't.
But people don't remember that, but they remember the whole him saying those disgusting things about her the day after she stood up to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, I think you're right. I think she might have been the only person really to...
Not the so-called liberal media New York Times, not the so-called liberal media NBC moderator, not the so-called liberal media...
CNN?
Yeah, sir. Yeah, right.
Right.
They've got Trump people who are on the Trump payroll on their payroll. So, see how that works. Anyway, that's about going to wrap it up for us. I think we're going to try to have some guests next week.
So we're going to be in Florida next week.
Oh, God.
So
yeah,
we're going to have Dana and Brenna.
Oh, they're doing it.
They're going to do it. Dana and Brenna are going to bring you next week's edition of Irreverent Testimony.
Wow.
We are going to let them do really whatever they want, and they're going to do it. So we will not be with you, but they will, and I'm so excited to listen to what they have to say. And we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we're lining up some guests, and we're going to talk about, for sure, the pipeline and some other things and whatever crazy shit is going on. So that's where we are.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. And I guess if they want to have a guest, they can. If they can work out the technical specs.
I literally was like, I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do.
So Dana and Brenna will do the show. And then when we get back in 2 weeks, we are going to have some guests. There's a local unaffiliated independent guy running for something here in Lakewood.
I think he's a Democrat, isn't he?
He's a Democrat, but he's
county surveyor.
But he's a write-in candidate.
Yes. So it's gonna be, I'm just fascinated to talk to him about what that even looks like.
So we're probably gonna have him on, and
then I don't know. We've got some stuff in the pipeline that we don't want to announce quite yet, but thanks for bearing with us and our little bit unprepared but lively podcast tonight.
Yeah. We're surviving our semi-disastrous 2 weeks here.
Uh-huh.
But stay active, stay tuned, stay involved. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk. Tomorrow.
to break for you only. I only love to love you only. I'm built to break.